Well, greetings and welcome to Plain Dudes Radio. I think we have an interesting topic for you this time around. And the topic is basically about today or yesteryear. When was it really better? People often get talking about and comparing these two things. And so let me start right off with my original starter file that I sent out for people to comment on. That is what this podcast is about. And here we go. Well, hello everyone. I think it's time for another Plain Dudes topic and Snapvine post, kind of all in one here. And what I'd like to talk about and I'd like to get comments on is today versus yesteryear. And what I'm talking about is the way that people quite often seem to glorify the past in certain ways. I mean, we heard it from our parents, and now sometimes I find myself, and I find other people saying much the same thing. We're going to hell in a handbasket. Things were better in my dad's day. Yada, yada, yada. And is it really true? So that's what the subject of this is going to be, today versus yesteryear. And there's another criteria, and I'd like to hear you talk about this. Give me a response on Snapvine as a voice file, and let me know if you think that there are points in the past that were better than now, and if so, why, and how they were better. I know people will make the, you know, we'll talk about, I'm going to talk about morals and economy myself, but there may be other criteria that you could apply to this comparison of today to yesteryear. It could be quite a few other ways. Some people would say morality was better in the past, that we were a more moral culture because we were very much more reserved, more censored, and all that sort of thing. At the same time, I think we could also, I would say, that morality wasn't as good in the past. Why? Well, you know, back in the 50s, yeah, sure, we were more reserved. You wouldn't find people embracing premarital sex the way it's embraced now. You wouldn't find people embracing the idea of having children out of wedlock or an abortion or things like that. Gays were not certainly, they were frowned upon. You know, people might say all this was a better thing. On the other hand, you know, if you look at how some other things were, such as child abuse, you know, children being abused by mothers and fathers and other people, I think we're much more moral in that way. Or maybe you wouldn't say that's morality, but, you know, back then, children didn't know who to go to if this sort of a thing was happening, and oftentimes they weren't believed. Adults, in my day, they were all powerful. They were, you know, you wouldn't want to cross an adult, as simple as that. And you certainly didn't play one adult against another. So at school, that teacher had every right to spank you. Not the case today. But that could also mean that teacher had the right to abuse you. And your parents, if they heard you were spanked at school, instead of going straight down to that school to report them for child abuse like today, probably when they heard that their teacher spanked you, then they'd give you a second spanking because you probably deserved it, they assumed. Yeah, there could be abuse. And that used to happen a lot more, both child abuse and spouse abuse. And if you go back far enough in time, if you say that the past is always more moral than it is now, you can run into situations like the, you know, the days when we had slavery, or back when the, I'm trying to think of their names now, but the Salem witch trials and such, you know, being held because of these extremely strict religious people. So, were morals better? You know, I kind of almost see it like a mixed bag. Some things are better today. Some things were better then. I think it's tweaking we need to do to our morality. And it's been talking about the idea of a moral renaissance. Well, what would that involve? How would we go back to the past? Or would we be going back to the past? I think, quite honestly, a moral renaissance would involve not going into the past, but going into the future. But just for the sake of argument, you can talk about all this, and give me an idea, if you think the past was better, where would you go in the past? Where was it better in the past, and why? What year? What, you know, or what years? The 50s, the 60s, the 40s, the 1800s, Middle Ages? Where would you go? Where things would be better? Now, I often think myself that the economy was better in the past, and I'd say that the 60s were probably about the best, the 60s and early 70s. Or even the 50s, you know, there was kind of a boom going on. It was a good days for America. My dad was able to work a job from, you know, the day he started it to the day he died. You can't do that anymore. And I kind of would yearn for days like that. I'd like a time and a place where, A, your money, you know, the value of your labor was very high, which it was back then. He was able to support a family of five all by himself, one worker. And he worked that day, from that job, from the day he started till the day he died. And a lot of people during his generation were able to do that. That's just unheard of nowadays. And the idea of being able to do either of those two things, you know, work one job your whole life, or to be able to make that kind of money where you could support your whole family on a two-year degree. I think that is kind of the good old days. And so as far as employment, if employment was the only criteria, I think probably it would be the 50s for me. I'd miss the internet, I'd miss certain technology. But if it was just strictly employment I was talking about, I think the 50s would be the time. But there's other things you can talk about. It's like, if you were going to pick a time to live in that was better, what time would you start? When would you be born? And then how, you know, what age, what years would you live in and live through? I think I'm pretty close to where I'd want to be. I think, if anything, I think I would have been born a little sooner. Maybe I've been born in the 30s or 40s, so that I could have enjoyed the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and had some time in the internet age, too. You know, it's hard to say, because I really like this internet age. In a way, I almost wish I could go into the future and see where it's all going to go. But I tell you, if I didn't have to worry about supporting myself in a job, if I was independently wealthy and money wasn't the problem, I think I would want to live my life out, probably starting in about the 1990s when the internet started and going forward. I mean, we seem to get some tremendous technological leaps. All the things I'd ever dreamt of were suddenly coming true in the 80s and 90s. Computers really coming into their own. I always wanted to be able to record. I was a beginner tape recorder, as I've said many times. I would love to have been able to, back then, record DVDs, I mean, that kind of quality, send my voice digitally and around the world the way I'm doing now. I would have died for this kind of stuff, you know, to be your own broadcast station worldwide, effectively. I would have loved this at an earlier age. Would have been much more into it. And I'd love to see where it's all going, quite honestly. I'd love to go 50 years or 100 years into the future and see where podcasting and all this ends up leading. If, like I say, if money wasn't any object, if I didn't have to worry about supporting myself, because in that respect, I see the world getting worse. Technologically, I see amazing thing happening if the world, you know, particularly the United States, can stay in one piece. And so, one part of me thinks that as far as working and stuff, I would be back in the 50s where things were pretty well off. But if that, you know, if money was no object and everything, then I think I would be closer to modern day and going into the future to see what things are going to be like. But I don't know. What's your answer? I think I've talked enough to give you something to talk on. What do you think? You know, are we better or worse off today? Where would you live? You know, give me some of your thoughts on all this. And Be sure to listen in to the podcast that will be resulting, hopefully sometime soon, at www.scottpodcast.com, and you'll find a link to Plain Dudes Radio there. Hope to hear back from you. Bye for now. All right, and for our first comment on this topic, we're not going to start out with me. We're going to start out with another Plain Dudes regular. One of the Plain Dudes who, in fact, is probably an expert on this topic, and that's Irk. Take it away, Irk.
G'day, Plain Dudes radio listeners. I'm Irk, reporting from Sydney, Australia, and I am a regular host here on Plain Dudes Radio. And when Scott sent me the topic this week, I thought, oh wow, this isn't a subject that I do a podcast about, so I'm very qualified to talk about today versus yesterday. And the podcast that I do on this particular subject is a podcast with my mum Judy, which we call Blast from the Past, with the subline, back in my day. And what we do, more so in the earlier episodes, more than now, we're taking a break from talking about the past at the present, so to speak, boom boom. We compare things in my past compared to her past and compared to the current day. We pick a topic, for instance, we might talk about telephones, or we might talk about the radio or television or working various jobs, and we compare them. And sometimes we find that things are better now. For instance, in my opinion, technology is a lot better now. For instance, I could not imagine doing this particular podcast with a dial-up internet connection. It can be done. I am actually involved in a podcast fiction novel at the moment called Dead Hunt, where the author of the book is in a remote area of Canada, and he at home has dial-up internet access. And so what he was doing was that he was downloading things that we were sending him overnight, or he was going to the local library, which does have a broadband connection, and he was downloading things there and uploading things from there. So while there are people who are out there on dial-up, and I sympathise to any of you who are, although having said that, I really doubt that there's many people that listen to podcasts, especially people who listen to myself, Scott, Michael, Trucker Tom, and Tom. You know, you really can't get by with a dial-up connection listening to any one of us. Especially with the amount of content that we put out each week. So we're definitely better off for the technology. It's just so much easier to contact people from around the world. For instance, I'm sure that all of the Plain Dudes would not have been able to get together so easily and produce this show so easily if it wasn't for the internet and the social media. And things like obtaining music, it is so easy to take around music these days. Trucker Tom was saying on his podcast the other day that he basically has his entire music collection with him in his truck as he drives around America. There would have been no way that he would have been able to do that in the past with records, CDs or cassettes, for instance. So in those terms, in technology terms, we're a lot better off. But we're not necessarily better off in other ways. When it comes down to interpersonal relationships, while it's good that I can contact people from around the world, interpersonal relationships are more difficult these days. Especially when it comes to things like the workplace and having to be politically correct. And things like that. It's definitely a lot harder to communicate in the workplace these days. And there's so many different forms of communications that we've got these days, with things like email, SMS, social media, picking up the telephone or seeing someone in person, that it's often difficult to pick and choose which form of communication that you need for which particular message. And then, of course, you have to rely on the person being able to read said message, and that doesn't always happen. However, back in the earlier times, it was definitely a lot easier to communicate. Now, I'm coming from the point of view of a guy who can remember the 80s and beyond. Anything to do with the 70s, or the 60s, or the 50s, or anything earlier than that, isn't coming from personal first-hand experience. And I do have to think that there would be some things that would be better back then compared to now. For instance, family life may indeed be considered by many to be better then than what it is now. I know of many people in my neighbourhood who have children, and both parents go out to work via necessity. And so the kids grow up either in daycare or after school care, or they have to fend for themselves. Whereas back in the past, the father was out working and the mother was at home with the children. Now, indeed, some people might indeed say that that is a good thing. However, there's a lot of women that I know that work that wouldn't necessarily think that that's a good thing, because they like going out and they like being IT people or whatever it is that they are doing, police officers, flight attendants, or even train drivers, jobs that were only open to men in the past. And then, of course, you have things like shopping, for instance. It's definitely a lot easier these days to go out and buy something at any time of the night, depending on where you live. You could go out and there can be many things that you can get at any time of the day or night if you need it, if you need to get it. We're no longer restricted by a 9-to-5 community with the shops closed on weekends. There are many things that I can buy online without necessarily even having to leave my lounge room where my computer is. I can just order it and have it delivered. But is that necessarily better? Sometimes there is nothing like going to the shop and being able to buy a book. However, it's not always convenient for people to buy and read books. Like Trucker Tom was saying on his podcast this week, when he was launching his Audible commercials, many people don't have time to read books, but they have time to listen to podcasts and audiobooks while they're driving or doing other tasks. Once upon a time, you'd never be able to take anything into your workplace to listen to while you were doing your typing or whatever, because you'd be worried about the whole office hearing about what you want to hear. But now, back to technology, you have things such as iPhones, MP3 players, etc., which you can use headphones for, and it's definitely a lot easier. If you would like a bit more insight into what things were like back then, or what things could be like in the future, have a look at the Back to the Future movie series, where Marty McFly, played by Michael J. Fox, starts off in 1985, and during the course of the three movies, goes backwards and forwards through time. I have to say that looking back to 1955, they look like they were very much simpler times. Although, having said that, we are more culturally aware and we are more tolerant of other people than what we were back then. The future in Back to the Future Part 2, where they go to the year 2015, looks absolutely superb. But as we're in the year 2010 now, I dare say we have a long way to go if we were to match what is in 2015 compared to what is in 2010 now. It would definitely be a great ability to be able to go back through time and to see what things are like now. compared to back then, firsthand. And the final thing that I'll say on this particular subject is that it is indeed a lot easier to go back in time and see what things are like. With things like the internet and the way that TV is now these days, you can see what things were like in different countries in different periods of time while in the comfort of your lounge room. You definitely don't need to go to the local furniture store and watch the TV through the window of the shop. It's definitely a lot better to watch things at home. So in balance, I think that we've definitely got things a lot better now than what we used to. Overall, there's a lot of things that are wrong with this world today, interpersonal relationships and tolerance and everything like that especially. But having said that, I would rather be living in these times rather than way back then, because apart from anything else, I love my technology. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different here on Plain Dudes Radio. We normally don't play music, but I'm going to play a song for you now by The Fump, the Funny Music Project, which you can find at thefump.com. And the artist is Devo Spice, and he has this song called Getting Old Sucks. And this particular song is very, very relevant to this particular subject. Then listen to the words and you can make up your own mind and think about the past and think about how good it was, or indeed how good the present is. Anywho, for Plain Dudes Radio, I'm Irk from Channel Irk. Don't forget to check out my talk podcast, Irk Pod, and also my Back in My Day show that I do with my mum Judy called Blast from the Past, quite relevant. www.channelirk.com. And here is Devo Spice from The Fump with Getting Old Sucks. Until next time, I'm Irk, reporting for Plain Dudes Radio from Sydney, Australia.
Get old, or so I was told when I was growing up. And now I'm watching it unfold as I'm showing up for work, where I have a broken chair and some carpal tunnel syndrome from too much solitaire. I remember a time not long ago when my hair was growing thicker on my head than in my nose, and my toes didn't have any hair, a weird dent. Now I'm popping Rolaids from a Pez dispenser. Everything hurts or makes a funny noise, and now I have to pay for all of my own toys, and I avoid any physical exertion. I'm amazed at the simplest task, leave me sore for days. My prospects for walking get a little bit bleaker as my butt gets larger and my knees get weaker. And I hate to admit it, but it's true, I pulled a muscle in my back while I was tying my shoe. Damn, it sucks to get old.
Huh?
Damn, it sucks to get old.
Say what?
Damn, it sucks to get old.
Huh?
Damn, it sucks to get old.
What? I have no idea what he's saying. I can't understand him one bit. Can you?
No, I can't stand him either.
You know you're getting older, things will never be the same. The day a little kid beats you in a video game, how they remember the moves and the combos and quirks, I'll never know. But hey, I remember the snorks. When I was a kid, we didn't have the internet, which of course made porn a lot harder to get. And our cars didn't have GPS, we had a mess of a map that you couldn't refold for crap. I used to stay out late on a date, get drunk as a skunk, stumble home, get off and feel great. Now, I'm home by 8 to watch MacGyver, and the only thing I'm drinking is for supplemental fiber. Back then I would pretend I was Captain Kirk, now I have a desk and I pretend to work. I don't wanna be a kid again or even 24 again, but it would be nice if I could get up off the floor again. Damn, it sucks to get old.
Uh-huh.
Damn, it sucks to get old.
Yeah.
Damn, it sucks to get old.
Uh-huh.
Damn, it sucks to get old.
Oh, so you can understand him now.
No, I'm just pretending to listen, like I do with my wife.
Back when I was a teenager, girls didn't go around shaking their booty, showing their boobs. There was no Girls Gone Wild. Oh, God, I'm depressed.
Back when I was a boy, the video games only cost a quarter, and all you were was a dot who ate other dots.
You begin to forget things like who you are, where you are, why you're where you are, how'd you get to where you are, and where the hell'd you park the car? And if you walk too far, will you need some CPR? How'd your life get so bizarre, and how the hell'd you get that scar? Your life becomes filled with more questions than answers. Like, what happened to the solid gold dancers? Should I get checked for cancer? Do you know where my pants are? And what the hell's a male enhancer? I don't need fashion tips from gay men, cause finally some of my clothes are back in style again. So now I just need to be a little more svelte and get rid of this gut that's hanging over my belt. I'm checking out the hottie in the checkout line. Her name is Melanie, but it's a felony for what I have in mind. That's a plan that I don't understand, how a 30-something turns into a dirty old man. But the worst feeling is the day you realize our elected officials are just spewing real lies. One is pure evil, so you can't vote for him, but the other one couldn't teach a duck to swim. Damn, it sucks to get old. Damn, it sucks to get old. Damn, it sucks to get old. Damn, it sucks to get old.
Back in my day, Michael Jackson went on dates with Brooke Shields, and he made the most fantastical music. He was the king of pop, I tells ya. In my day, Yoda was a puppet.
All right, and thank you, Eric. That was really funny. Devo Spice, and it's Pod Safe to boot. Darn, it sucks to get old. thanks much. Spot on. And it's great to have a little levity in the topic here, too. So, any case, what did you think about that, Michael? What's your opinion on the topic?
Hello, Scott. Michael Moss here, responding to the latest Plain Dudes Radio talk about the good old days. You know, what constitutes the good old days? You know, are the good old days over for good? You know, kind of like the old Merle Haggard song. Are the good times really over for good? You know, I know we can't play that song in the podcast because of copyright reasons, but for those of you listening to this, I would highly suggest going to that song and listening if you want a good perspective on what I feel about it. Yes, we've had some good things in the past. Some things that were better in the past in terms of people and morality and morals and values. But I look at it this way as well. At the same time, our life is what we make of it. Our life is what we make of it. And you, as an individual, decide and have the final say in what the future is going to bring. You don't like the way the things are right now? It's up to you to change it to the best way that you can possible. You may not succeed at everything, but nobody ever gets everything that they want in life, even the rich. There's always something that people wanted to accomplish or wanted to do that they never get to do. Not enough time, it's too big of a world. But things have changed from a morality standpoint. I understand that. We have seen that. You know, and that's partly due to the communication age with the internet and being able to get the word out much quicker and receiving information a lot quicker through the internet. So you've seen a lot of groups grow that wouldn't have in the past. Yay, the old-fashioned way, word of mouth or clubs and stuff like that. Now, so would I like to go back to any particular era? Not me personally, no. I've always wanted to look ahead the best I possibly can. I hate it when the past gets caught up. I hate it personally to go back into the past and sometimes even wallow in it, because it's just, it's gone. The past lasts for a moment as a portion of the present, and then it's gone. We have to learn to move forward. And I think, in some cases, the fact that we, at times, we don't move forward is what holds us back from pursuing things in the future. We are put on the earth to build this earth up, to make it something wonderful, and to keep going as the time clock keeps ticking. Not to wallow back in the past and point a finger here, point a finger there. Because, yes, the past may affect your present, but you are living in the present, and it is up to you to be able to change this moment, to be able to make something of this moment. You know, we have a lot, you know, they talk about our freedoms getting taken away. And maybe some of them are. But, at the same time, the question needs to be asked, are we letting them? We elect our officials in government. You know, Kamala said we get the government we deserve. And it's true. We do. We are the ones that elect them. And if you didn't think a candidate would have worked that the majority of the people voted for, then again, it could have been up to you to go out and campaign against them. Yes, I say you. You know, a lot of people complain about government. But then again, I always say, well, if it's not good enough, who's to stop you from running for it? Who's to stop you from campaigning for it? Who's to stop you to change it, even on your personal level, not as an elected official? Why didn't you write your congressperson? Why didn't you even write the White House? And I know people are going to say, and it's going to be the same old thing again. Well, they're never going to read it. They're never going to care about me. You know, I thought that as once as well. But if I remember a couple of years ago, I did write something to, who did I write to? It was the governor of Indiana, Mitch Daniels. And I wrote him something about, I think, my ideas on improving the street department, the streets and the roads and stuff. So something of that nature. And sure enough, rather quickly, as a matter of fact, I did get a response. You know, it was a simple response, kind of a thank you type response, but that's fine. At least they saw it. At least one of the members in his staff saw it. But who knows, maybe he did too. Maybe it just wasn't the secretary writing back. You know, you never really know. Because they can take those and trash them. And that's what people think that they do all the time. They just trash them. Well, not always. Not always. And if you don't get a response on one, keep doing it. The good times are, in my opinion, are yet to come. The best times in your life have yet to be written. I think as you continue to live each and every day, those are the best times of your life. The fact that you're alive, that you're living in them, and you have the opportunity to continue to make things better. The world can't function without us. That's why we're here. It's up to each and every one of us. Some people ask, well, why was I born in this era? You know, why couldn't I have been born in the 50s? Why couldn't I have been born in the 60s or 70s or 80s or whatever? Well, the fact is, you're born when you were born, and you were born to make a difference at this point in time. Other people were born and lived their adult lives in the 70s and 60s and 50s for a reason. It was their time. At the age that they did, too, it's their time. Sometimes you can't do things that you want to do at a certain age. It isn't the right time. You don't have enough knowledge, or you don't have the right motivation. But then when you do, beautiful things happen. And some people miss the boat altogether. They miss what their calling is. They miss their opportunities because they either wallow in self-pity or are too lazy to do anything about it. And, you know, it's a sad, set of circumstances. So one of my favorite times to be alive and to do things, right now. Don't have to take me back to the 90s. Don't have to take me back to the 80s. I was born in the mid-70s. I'm only 35 years old this year, on May 19th. And as far as I'm concerned, the future of the Earth is depending on what I make of it and what I do to contribute to it. And I'm damn sure happy alive to be alive. You can find me on the web at postacast.mevio.com. And for you weather folks out there, stormchasing.mevio.com. Michael Moss here, signing off for now. Now back to Plain Dudes Radio.
Thanks, Michael. That was great. I tried to look up that Merle Haggard song there. Were the early days really so good? Is the way you gave it. I went on YouTube, where it's quite amazing what you can find. You talk about how great things are can be today, or at least Eric was, and I think you might have been implying that, but certainly Eric did. I mean, the idea that I can just reach out and find a song and play it like this is amazing to me. You know, have like a virtual record collection. And so I go on YouTube, I typed in Merle Haggard, a bunch of selections come up. One of them was, Are the Good Times Really Over? I did listen to that, and I wonder if that's the one you meant. You'll have to email me and let me know. But thanks for that contribution there. Okay, and we got a couple more Plain Dudes and myself here, and then we're going to get into the Snapvine portion. I'm going to kind of separate things out that way this time around, I think. So the next one of the Plain Dudes that I'd like to hear from is Tom Harris, USA. Take it away.
Do we prefer yesterday or today? Well, it's a very interesting question. This is Tom Harris from the Tom Harris USA podcast, and I hope to explore that a little bit anyway with you. I've talked about this on my show before. And before I go any further, I just have to say that I am one of those people who looks at where the world has come since I was a younger person. Since I'm 47 years old now. And I look back at all the time that I've lived through. I look back at all the innovations that have happened, the technology that has come up, the social change that has happened in my lifetime. And I can't imagine going back and wanting to return to a time previous to the time I was born. Now, it's fun to think of having a time machine and going back and visiting that era, but I certainly wouldn't want to live there for a variety of reasons. I am very much somebody who looks towards the future. In fact, if I had the choice of living in the past, the present, or the future, I would definitely choose the future, even with the uncertainty of not knowing what's coming, because I see things as only going to progress from where we are now. It may change in unexpected ways now and then. Of course, you know, the path of the future is never certain. But what is certain is that things will change. And I embrace change. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who would like to romanticize the past. They would like to go back to the way things were back in the old days, the good old days, a lot of times they'll refer to it. But were they really that good? If you go back, to the 1950s, it was a time of great injustice. It was a time when people violently put down minorities. It was a time when African Americans didn't have the right to vote. We lived, and especially in the U.S. South, in a segregated world and in a climate of distrust and fear. It was a time when people would institutionalize troubled teenagers instead of getting them the help that they needed. It was a time when women were treated as second-class citizens. And it wasn't this golden era that a lot of people would like to paint it as being. Yes, there was a sense of community. This was born of the war. This was born of the conflict. This was born of the paranoia of the Cold War. That's no basis to build a society. You can't build a society on paranoia, though there are a lot of people out there who think that's a real good idea. I hear some people talk about morality and how our nation has become so much less moral than it used to be. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I think that as a society, if anything, we're more moral now than we were back in the 1950s, let's say. However, I suppose that also depends on what issue you're talking about. I think that there's some aspects of our society that are more moral now than they ever have been before, and then there are some aspects of society that are less, shall we say, traditionally moral, but that is not to say that they are immoral. We need to understand that morality is always determined by the culture in which we live, and cultures don't remain stagnant. If they remain stagnant, they die. And cultures are ever changing. So as a result of that, morality is forever changing. Now here in 2010, I don't think that anybody would argue too strenuously that slavery or torture is anything but immoral. However, back 200 years ago, slavery was considered very moral. There was nothing wrong with it in the eyes of most people. And torture still has its defenders in our society even today. And the norms of society are the norms of our morality. The basis is always cultural. It doesn't stem from some supernatural being or some book written thousands of years ago. In regards to things like civil rights, we are vastly more moral today. Yes, we are, as a group in our society, less religious now than we were back in the 1950s, but I view that as a good thing. As an atheist, I support reason and logic, and not superstition and religion. And I know that that, you know, is not popular in certain circles, but that is the way I look at things. Now, I do find it often kind of amusing how people who talk about freedom, they talk about the loss of freedom or how we're in danger of losing our freedoms, who at the same time work to remove freedoms from people or to deny freedom to people. It's one of those interesting topics, but is that a sign that we have become an immoral society, or is this just something older that has persisted from an outmoded morality? And to me, morality is not necessarily connected with religion or faith in believing things that aren't logical or rational. I think that one could argue that one of the moral dilemmas of our time is how, as a society, we have come to almost worship an individualism to the extent of forgetting that we need to work for the common good, and perhaps recapture a little bit of the sense of community that used to exist. I do think that there are things of value in the past, in the way things used to be done. I don't think everything is good in the modern era, that we live in some sort of perfect utopia. That clearly isn't the case. And I think that we can learn lessons, certainly, from the past. But I think that going backward, A, it's impossible, and B, it wouldn't be a good idea anyway. We do not want to go back to the unjust systems of the past. The tendency should be more towards freedom and not away from freedom. I look to the future, and I look at today as being the transitionary period between the injustices of the past and the promise of what's yet to come. You know, back when I was a kid, and I would say back when I was about, you know, 8 to 12 years old, I used to lay on the floor in my room and stare at the ceiling, and I would try to imagine what the world would be like in the year 2000. Ooh, that seemed like such a long way away in 1973. You know, the year 2000 was way in the future, and tried to think of myself and tried to think of what sort of place I'd be living in, what kind of thing. And I never really thought of it in a Jetsons kind of way, in a sort of hyper-futuristic way, but I did wonder what life would be like, what cars would be like, what airplanes would be like. Would I be living on the moon, or would I be living on Mars? And I don't think that I could have ever imagined things like the internet, and things like, you know, being able to communicate with any of my friends across the world for nothing via Skype, or having a podcast of my own that reaches a dozen countries. I couldn't have possibly imagined that as a kid, much less if I had been a kid in the 1950s, and I didn't even have that much context. The world changed enormously between the 50s and the 70s, and mostly for the better. But of course, with this modern era, there comes problems too. I could never have imagined living in a world where I had not met most of my friends in person. As with any time in our history, our time does have its problems as well. There are always challenges. There are always problems. There are always things that we need to face, both as individuals and as nations. So rather than retreat into nostalgia and the good old days, my idea is that we should confront these in the present day, and let's make it better. There have always been problems. And I don't think it's healthy to look back at the past as some sort of golden age. You know, nostalgia is a normal thing. Nostalgia begins when you're 25 years old, and all of a sudden you're nostalgic for your childhood. And I understand that, and to some extent I even share it. But I think as a society we need to move beyond nostalgia, because the past really wasn't better than today. Today is better than it's ever been before, and tomorrow will be better yet. And sure, there are a lot of people out there who are trying to manipulate you into being afraid of the future, into being afraid of what will happen if you don't go backward. And these are the voices that you need to ignore. A free society left to its own devices will progress. It will continue to move on. And let's face it, folks, the world isn't going back. It can never be 1948 again. It can never be 1966 again. It can never be 1979 again. As much as we have a fondness for our history, as much as we have a fondness for the era in which we grew up, it seems to me that talking with various people who I've talked with about this topic, it seems like our childhood is the time that we look back to. That's the time we look back to as being sort of our ideal. And I guess maybe I never thought of that as my ideal even when I was a kid. I always thought of looking forward even then. And I think that's the healthiest way to go. I think that, you know, you can't be afraid of moving into the future because, you know, let's face it, time marches on. And unless you die, there's no way to avoid that. We're going to go into the future whether we want to or not. And I don't see a lot of sense in fearing what is yet to come. I think the energy that people put into fearing change, into fearing the future, would be better put into helping work with other people to make the future better, so maybe some people wouldn't find it such a frightening prospect. Anyhow, thanks for listening. This is Tom Harris from the Tom Harris USA podcast, signing off. See you next time.
Okay, Tom, thanks for your comments. As usual, a lot to think about in what you said there. You mentioned about the past being very bad for minorities. Could it also be said, because you mentioned, you know, women's rights and blacks' rights, and I think you mentioned homosexuality, but nonetheless, that would be a part of it too. Tolerance of any and all of that, and, you know, how is all worse if you were a minority? But by the same token, would that also not perhaps say that things were better for the majority, if you follow what I'm saying? Because some people who are in the majority might say, yeah, darn straight it was worth for the minorities. They deserved it. Back then, women knew their place, or back then, the black people knew their place, or, you know, you get the idea. And so for them, they would look back on this as being better for them, the majority. That's one of the things I thought about. So they might want to go back for that reason. And it's a selfish reason, but what are human beings? They're so selfish. And you're right, morality is a balancing act, between one extreme and another in so many ways. So when people talk about the past and morality, there's so many facets to that discussion. I totally agree. So I can see many ways that people are more moral now, just as you say, in the tolerance of minorities. And in fact, I was one of those minorities, maybe not the kind you think of, but, you know, I think I will talk about that in my topics when I get to them, about how the world was towards a minority such as myself, that being somebody who was geeky, lacking in social skills, things like that. One of the things that's most recently been coming to a head, and I've been hearing more and more about, is bullying, which was very tolerated back in my day. So in all those regards, I think the world is becoming a better place. I tend to agree with you. But I yet to hear anybody here address one of the issues that I brought up, and maybe I should have made more of an issue of it, but what of the economics of the future? What about the direction that our country and even the world is heading in economically? Because I don't see that as a good trend. You said you would live in the future. Well, I would too, were it not for this really troubling economic trend. The rest of it, I can see things getting better in so many ways. You know, as I said, the morality way. There's a lot of good things in there. And the bad things, you know, like I say, it's a trade-off with the good we're getting. And I think overall, it's a win scenario. I think that technologically, who would want to go back technologically to the past? I wouldn't. But when it comes to economically, that's where I really have to think. And it's really kind of funny because I'm trying to read my notes here at the same time get on topic here, on point. The thing I was thinking about was if we knew that all these things were advancing, you know, that morality seems to at least be holding its own and maybe advancing, technology advancing and all that, would we want all of that? And we wouldn't care if they did away with the bottom line economics, because let's face it, isn't economics at the bottom of what your life is all about? Now, maybe you're somebody that just doesn't feel the squeeze that's going on nowadays, Tom. I don't know. I don't see how anybody can help but feel the squeeze of what's going on. And what I don't understand is why people don't look and try to figure out what it is that's causing this, because it's obvious, and I talk about it all the time. Unless people disagree. And I guess maybe that make a good plain dudes topic. To talk about the economy, where it's going and why. And what does the future hold? Maybe that's something we should do for a plain dudes future topic. What do you think, guys? But to me, if the future continues on the same trend we're on, which is that, you know, and I mentioned this in my comment, that we're making less money as far as the buying power of our money all the time, and that will mean that eventually, unlike my father who was able to support five kids on one paycheck with a two-year degree, I could have a four-year degree and probably not even be able to support myself, or just about. And what if it gets to the point where most people maybe don't even have jobs, like in a lot of these third world countries, and the ones that do earn about enough to get a house to live in, you know, in other words, a roof over their head, some food, and they get some creature comfort, basically like, you know, TV to watch and some other electronics. This is just to keep them distracted from the fact that they are essentially enslaved. They're in an uncomfortable little cage. You know, it's kind of like, we're going to put you in a cage, but will you mind if we make this cage comfortable enough so it has all the things that, you know, make you feel good enough? As long as you're comfortable, do you care that, you know, you're caged up and you don't have quite all the freedoms that you might have had otherwise and all the benefits of your labor? Do you mind? Because that's what real slavery is when you don't give people the benefits of their labor, the true benefits of their labor. You know, the slaves, they had a roof over their head and they had food on their table, and if they got sick, they had a medical plan, they would be taken care of. Those things were all paid for. In a manner of speaking, you could say that that's what they got for their work, but they weren't allowed to go anywhere, and they didn't have any choice in the work they did. Well, what if you can essentially give that to people today by having work so limited, so little of it, that you don't have a lot of choice in your work? And you couldn't go much of anywhere else in the world and find things better. So even though you've got freedom of movements, unlike the slaves, your enslavement wouldn't get any better. The conditions wouldn't change, and you think you got to vote, but whoever you vote for seems to continue the system. It doesn't make it any better for you because they're bought and paid for. Would that qualify as enslavement? That's what I'm afraid for in the future. And that's why I'm really afraid to say that, yeah, shove me into the future. That's where I want to live. That's why I'm a little bit afraid for my grandkids. So I just wanted to put that in there, where you seem to have a very positive attitude about the future. I'm not quite so sure because of the trend. And if you could, you know, maybe you'll come back on a refile here and explain why you're so certain that the future is going to be better with this trend in place. how is this going to end? You know, because this trend has gone on all my life. I have seen no change in this. It's been a steady downhill trend. So why do I believe that this is going to change sometime after I'm gone? Because that's not what I've seen my entire life. And you talked about how people tend to look back at their childhood and think of it as a wonderful time and all that. You're absolutely right. And there's a reason for that. And I think that's because as a child, you're very naive. You really look at the world, you know, almost like tunnel vision. And you don't really think about all that's going on. You know, the more you know about what can go wrong, the scarier the world gets. And so sometimes that's where that old saying, I think, comes from. You know, to be, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Blissfully unaware, is that it? No, I'll think of it. But basically it has to do with, being stupid, but, you know, the stupidity allows you to have peace of mind. Maybe it's blissfully ignorant. Is that what? Yeah, I think that's what it was. You know, the bliss of ignorance. You know, and I guess as a child you kind of like that. You're blissfully ignorant. You don't really know what the world is, what's going on. You don't have the baggage. You haven't had things happen to you. You know, if you've never fallen down or never burned your finger, everything can be joy until you realize a few times after falling down and burning the finger, bad things happen and you become fearful of them and baggage builds up from day one. And that's why people look back on their childhood, because they've got this blissfully ignorant point of view of the world at that point in their life. And they think, gee, it was so much simpler back then. Mom and Dad just gave me everything, and I didn't have to worry about it. But, you know, if you knew then what you know now, you'd be worried about whether Dad's job was going away or whether Mom was going to get some disease, or you'd be a lot less blissful. That's what I think. It's just because we have that tunnel vision of a child that, you know, we look at things that way. Thanks for the comments, Tom. And I think now we'll get the last comment before my own, and then we will launch into comments from Snapvine, which is now gone, by the way. It's all on Cinch now. But anyway, let's hear what Tom has to say on this. Take it away, Tom.
I'm Tom Wiles, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. How do I compare, let's say, 1950s America, which in many ways represents the pinnacle of the American culture, to 2010 America? When would I like to live? Would I like to live my life where I lived the bulk of it in the 1950s? Or would I rather live in the time that I live in? I would rather live in the time that I live in. I was born in 1955, so I'm kind of a product, in a way, of the 1950s. But looking back, lately I've become enamored with films. Instructional films, documentary-type films from the 1950s. Educational-type films from the 1950s. And there is a certain quality that comes through these films, and an undeniable sense of optimism that comes across through these films. And as I say, in many ways, people do tend, we look back on the 1950s today and we think, my, that was a simpler time. America was on the upswing, the economy was booming, things were wonderful. And gee, why can't we have that today? We seem to be in decline. Well, if you compare the 1950s to 2010 America, you take the knowledge out. Knowledge is the only thing that gets better. And therefore, technology has gotten better. That's the only thing that ever improves, is knowledge. That's the only thing that ever improves in this world with human beings, is knowledge. Take that knowledge out. Take that technology out. What is the difference between 1950s America, the decade of the 50s, and 2010 America? 1950s America, you had better morality. You had more, the vast majority of families, were together. Kids had a mom and a dad. There were very relatively few out of wedlock births in the 1950s. Compare that to today, where we have over half of kids that are born today in America are born into a single parent family, and many of them don't even know who the dad is. 1950s had a very low crime rate. Contrast that with today, 2010 America. We've got quite a bit more crime, if you know, relatively speaking. And so the morality, we've obviously gone into a moral decline that I believe began sometime probably in the 60s, probably in the early 60s, you know, just from my vantage point. That's when I think it really began in earnest, was sometime in the early 60s. But the real difference between the 1950s, taking the knowledge out, the real difference between the 1950s America and 2010 America is we've suffered a major moral decline. And the moral decline is what's important. Watching all of these films from the 1950s, they are optimistic and, you know, so on and so forth. But one thing struck me. In the 1950s, you had the reason that the American civilization was at its social and economic, really in many ways, pinnacle, certainly a social pinnacle, was because you had more people, a large majority of people, were closer to their common sense. And that started a long decline. As I say, it started in earnest in the 1960s. And it was done primarily through the school system. The school system separating, the public school system separating kids from their common sense. And so how do we get back to that today? How do we get back to common sense? Because the knowledge is always going to improve. Knowledge is always improving. But how do we, you know, so we can't, that's not really the difference. You know, you can say, well, there's differences in the technology. Well, that's really unimportant. What I'm focusing on is morality, and that really relies on common sense. So how do we get back to that today? It's useful. It's always useful to look at the basic family unit, because everything that goes on in the basic family unit, the so-called nuclear family, every dynamic that goes on in whether that family is a functional family or, more importantly, if it's a dysfunctional family, every one of those elements scales up and becomes national politics. And so if you have too many dysfunctional families, then you have dysfunctional national politics. All of the dynamics are there. The left represents the bitchy, witchy, naggy wife that wants to spend too much money. And the right, today's right in 2010 America, is represented by the namby-pamby husband that just wants to go along and to get along and doesn't, he's lost his power and doesn't know how to get it back in a right way. And so, you know, and he's worried about what, you know, he doesn't want to make mama mad. And so how do you straighten out a normal family? Well, you know, now I'm single. I'm 50, almost 55 years old, born in 1955. Knowing, and I don't have any kids, never have had, probably never will have. Knowing what I know now, if I had a child, my job would be to help that child develop their own connection strong connection to common sense. The seed of it is there. In every child, the seed, the potential seed is there. The potential for that is there. The child comes into the world hoping to find parents. Children tend to look at their parents as gods, hoping to find parents that are just, hoping to find parents that have common sense. You know, they're almost always being sorely disappointed, but they're looking for common sense. They want their own common sense validated. They want to be steered in the right way. And so my job as a parent would be to become a modifying influence, not block them off from the world, not block them off from seeing what's wrong with the world, but being a modifying influence. Therefore, I would be, if I had a child today, I would be there with them every minute they're on the internet, and being that modifying influence. I would be there with them every minute they were watching television, and being that modifying influence. My job would be to validate their own connection to common sense. And then they have their own connection. Then once I'm gone, they're self-correcting. Because, you know, if I do my job properly, they become self-motivated, self-correcting. They've got their own connection to common sense. And so the job of a parent is to be a good modifying influence. Now, that makes my job, number one job, the most important job, finding my own common sense. You know, and of course that entails looking at myself and being honest with myself and not lying to myself and not lying to, you know, have lying friends that will tell me, hey, you're really a wonderful person even though I'm not. In other words, being honest with myself so that I can make friends with my conscience, make friends with my common sense. Then I can become that good modifying influence for my kid. So scale that up. And we have a marvelous opportunity, by the way, to do that today. It's called the internet. Become a modifying influence, not only for your family, but become that modifying influence for your friends. Become that modifying influence for, you know, people that you meet on the internet, new friends that you make on the internet, and in real life. But you have tremendous opportunity on the internet to become a good modifying influence. And so how do we get back to the 1950s morality-wise, and as a society? How do we get back to being a better society? Being better, and I mean better, than the 1950s, because we can do that. We can actually be better. You know, there were many things that were wrong with the 1950s. There were plenty of groups that were unjustly oppressed. It wasn't a perfect decade. It wasn't populated and inhabited by perfect people. But you had more people then that were closer to their common sense. Well, we can do better than that because we have not only the knowledge, the modern knowledge and the modern technology, but we can get back to that morality, connection to common sense, and go far beyond what they even dreamed of in the 1950s. And so what we need to do today, because there's no such thing as time travel, the only time travel there is going forward. This moment right now is all that ever exists and all that ever will exist, this moment and future moments. And so therefore, you become a modifying influence. Your conscience, your common sense modifies you. It becomes a modifying influence to you. And then you become a modifying influence to the people around you. And if you're really able to do that in the right way, then you begin to affect people that you never meet and you'll never know about, but you really won't care. You know, it's not, you shouldn't really care whether you influence someone else or not. Your job is to, and my job is to be as genuine as possible, become as genuine as possible, always examining your own motives, always examining, you know, philosophies of right and wrong, and try to do the, you know, always try to do the right thing. And it becomes possible to become a modifying influence, but you've got to get yourself right first. You've got to make friends with your own common sense first. And then you can begin to influence, be a very positive influence on the world around you, the people around you. And as I say, we have a marvelous opportunity to do that through the internet. So the sky really is the limit. It really is. And it all revolves around finding your connection to common sense and helping others to find that same connection. You can find my podcast at TruckerTomPodcast.com. I'm Tom Wiles.
Okay, well, thank you, Tom. And always some great remarks to and points to listen to there. I guess at this point, what I'm going to go to is the comments that I made shortly after I proposed this topic. So, here we go. Okay, well, here's my opinion on the topic of yesterday or today, morals and etc., you know, which was better. To me, it's really a mixed bag, to say the least. To sum it up overall, I would say that when it comes to the economy, yesterday was better. You know, I'm talking probably the 50s and 60s. Much better economy. When you got a job, my father, on a two-year degree for drafting, was able to get a job that he held his entire life. And this was more the rule than the exception to the rule back then. This was more the way it was. You could expect that back in the 50s. You could take a job and hold it for your career. And on that two-year degree type job that he got, he was able to support not just himself, which is about all you can do today, but his wife. Now, in a rare case, on a two-year degree, you might be able to support yourself and a wife today. But then add to that three kids. Yep, five people, and he was able to support them all. And I'm not talking about, I was not poor. I was middle class. And there's just no doubt that I didn't lack that much, if I lacked anything. True, we didn't take fancy vacations to Disneyland and far off European places and stuff. That was the trappings of the rich, as far as I knew back then, and the affluent. But we had all the other stuff that people had. So I would say, you know, as far as the economy and employment, things like that, yeah, the 50s, 60s were probably better, and I would choose it. However, I like the technology today better, and I don't know that I'd want to give that up in trade of the economy. Also, morality and the whole way that that is, there's pluses and minuses on that. And that's probably the biggest bunch of trade-offs that there is between today and yesteryear. That's actually what spurred on this whole conversation about today versus yesteryear. Because Tom has been, Trucker Tom's been playing a lot of these old videos of, kind of like the training videos. I remember seeing them in school on topics like pornography, which, you know, they kind of loosely define. In some cases, they're just magazines that I think are pretty unpornographic, like physique magazines, which are basically these physical fitness magazines you see today, like Flex and, you know, Muscle magazine, where there's these people that are building muscles.
They said if you looked at those too long, you were bound to become gay. I thought that was pretty funny. And there was another one on controlling your emotions. You know, that'd be a really good thing to have around today to, you know, teach kids and even adults, you know, that you should learn to control your emotions. Yes, there was a lot of more preaching about things. But I gotta say, although there was a kind of a nice morality to the 50s, there was a bad morality to the 50s and 60s too. It was very restrictive. It was a one-size-fits-all attitude about people. There was no trying to understand differences in people much at all. And so therefore, gays back then didn't have rights. In fact, you didn't want to admit that you were gay. The 50s was a time where there was a great deal of intolerance of any kind of difference or anything else. As I was saying, back in the 50s, you'd best not be gay because it was not tolerated. Adults were thought to be the absolute when it came to taking care of kids, and so if you were told to do something by an adult, you'd better do it. Never mind that that adult might be a child molester, stalker, or whatever, you know, the priests that might be after kids back then. I mean, the kids would never be able to admit to it. I mean, this all comes out many years later, the kind of stuff that was going on during 50s, 60s, and such. I don't think it was going on as much, but it was there. And now we're aware of these things. And I think that's better. I think it's better that we are more aware of these things and that, you know, we are doing something about it. We're back in the 50s, nothing was done about that. A man could beat his wife, and there was nothing much that she could do about it. A man could beat gays, you know, and there was nothing much the gays could do about it. People could get away with hurting children, and, you know, for the most part, even there, not a lot would get done about it. Wives would stick up for husbands because they really didn't want the public out to get their husband. Even if they knew it was going on, a lot of them would just turn the other way. I would not go back to that morality. I don't think that that would be a very good thing at all. But there was a lot of this kind of thing that went on. Just being different. And I can tell you this firsthand from myself. I did not play that much sports. And back then, they figured it's an odd boy who doesn't like sports. Now, mind you, I did play some, but I didn't play that much. And also, I remember that back then, there were these people who would just basically get on your case if you didn't behave the way they wanted you to behave. I remember a camp counselor who was saying to me, "Why can't you just be like the other kids?" And, you know, what could you say? That's the way they thought back then. They were not tolerant of differences or reasons for those differences at all. Bullying. I have to say, I was not a fighter. I was not a kid that would take a poke at other students if they took a poke at me. I wouldn't have fought back. I would try and get away from the situation, but if they kept coming after me, I was sunk. And I remember a bully that was chasing me home, and my mom eventually had to go down to the police station, swear out a complaint, and all this other stuff to make him eventually stop. Because back then, schools tolerated bullying. In fact, the attitude with a lot of parents was, "What's wrong with you, kid? Stand up for yourself, you wimp." That was the attitude. And at work, you know, hostile workplaces, you know, either sexually hostile or just plain workplace bullying. These are all things that are not tolerated today. And I think these are all things for the better. I wouldn't go back into a society. I wouldn't prefer living in a society without these things. I see these as moral benefits today compared to then. So it's a mixed bag, you know. You know, the way I see it, it's, you know, it's an awful lot like, you know, to make the final kind of comparison here, it's an awful lot like evolution. if we go backwards, we're de-evolving. If you know, if you head back to the 50s and 40s, and we're getting less and less evolved. We're getting closer and closer to our animal self. And if you think about it, in the animal world, they don't have any of these rights. It is the survival of the fittest. One animal can bully another animal. One animal can, you know, male animals can rape female animals, or hurt, or kill, or steal, or all these other things, and it's tolerated because it's all about survival of the fittest. And, you know, in its natural form, that's the way it would be with human beings too. And I'm sure we'd be very intolerant of things that are very different too in our animal form, such as gays and stuff like that. So, you know, to some people it may seem very attractive to go back to that kind of simplistic, I would say maybe a tribal morality, but I don't think that it's more evolved. I think when you evolve, when you rise up, you know, when you raise yourself up and on the evolutionary scale, you have to go beyond your primal self. And so that means that not only do you get some benefits from this, like that now no longer is rape accepted and bullying and all these other things, but you also have to start thinking logically and more evolved as well, and being less intolerant of differences. And that means that you tolerate and you live and let live when it comes to gays or any group. I keep saying gays, but I mean there's... I'm talking intolerance in general, whether it be blacks, women, right, or whatever. You know, you happen to be intolerant of earlier, because many men were intolerant of all of those things, men and women, you know, intolerant of many or all of those things, you know. Tolerance comes with being, I think, more advanced and looking at things logically and saying, what's really the harm here? What's really right and wrong here? Forget the survival of the fittest thing and all that. That's what animals do. What really counts here? And get down to what's real and what really does hurt the species and what really does hurt the society and what really does hurt other people. That's all that should really count. You've got to take it right down to science and logic. That's what a higher being does. And so when you go back to the 50s, you know, really you're kind of rolling all that back. So, you know, on one hand, I kind of do like the way that, you know, morality was simpler then, and there seemed to be, in certain ways, in certain places, a higher degree of morality. There's certainly a lot less people who did drugs. I don't remember drugs in my school being something that we even talked about. Yeah, there were these weird kids that sniffed glue, but I never had heard of marijuana, you know, or pot, let alone other drugs. At our school. Now, I know probably at places, you know, like New York and other bigger city areas, it was probably a lot more of that going on. But what about in the 50s? You know, I bet back then, I bet there was almost unheard of to have drugs, premarital sex very frowned upon. You know, the intolerance would have... Now, you see, the thing is that when things are that strict, then the intolerance tends to keep the occurrence of it down. You know, if you know that you can get the crap beat out of you, then you're certainly not going to be very public about being gay or premarital sex or doing drugs or whatever. It's going to be driven way underground and just not talked about much. And so maybe it was an illusion. Maybe there was. It'd be interesting to know what the exact facts are on this, but I don't think anybody ever even thought to do studies and really bring it out in the open. You know, to find out the truth about these things, you have to have a certain amount of openness. And there wasn't back then. So I don't think we really have any real idea of how much of this was underground. But the illusion that I had was that there was a lot less of this, and that it would be a nice place to go back to. And it could have been just that. It could have been just an illusion. There may have been a lot more of drug use and things. There weren't as many drugs, but there, you know, probably alcohol would probably be the big one. There might have been a lot more alcoholism. There might have been more, you know, glue sniffing and anything else that might have been available at that point in time. And it was just way underground, and you just didn't hear about it. And also for that reason, though, I don't think it would have spread as much. That's the other part of it. So I would, you know, my gut feeling is that if it was driven underground, then it wasn't known about, and therefore probably not as many people tried it, got hooked on it, etc., etc. Same thing might be well true of, you know, premarital teenage sex. You know, the least you hear about something, the less it tends to happen. And I got to say, you know, for myself, I heard very little about sex at all while I was in high school. Now I imagine kids hear about it well before high school. But I heard very little about it. And so it wasn't something I was thinking about. It wasn't something I wanted to try. It just wasn't there. Did I want to see naked women? Yeah, I think I did. You know, I think that's a natural curiosity that probably every red-blooded American adolescent boy has always had, to see naked women. Or, you know, if you're gay, maybe it's naked men. But I think that's basically it. Is you got to ask yourself, you know, do you really want to devolve? And I'm not sure that I do. You know, I think overall, it's good where we are. The only thing I wish I could do is infuse what the illusion anyway was of those old 50s, 60s values. If we could infuse those values into today somehow. And I think the somehow always comes down to the same thing, the parents. And so that's the only chance I have of infusing those values of yesteryear into today, is by both living them and by talking about and showing the benefits of them to others, in particular my grandkids, to show them that life is better when you have some of these solid values, and to point to the people who don't have them and say, see how their lives are? See all the problems they've got? Yeah, you can have those problems too, but you'd walk down the road they walk down, or you can walk down the road that I'm working on, walking down. What do you think of my life? Do you see that I got problems like that? Am I in, you know, having problems with drugs and alcohol and the law and this and that and the other thing? Say, well, you can come make your choice. You know, you can live that way, you can live this way. It's all up to you, but frankly, I think I'm smarter living this way. And kind of impress them with the smartness of it, the uniqueness of it, the fact that, you know, maybe this is the road less traveled, and maybe they can be a unique and smart person doing it. And believe me, kids love to be unique, and they love to consider themselves smart, and it's something that is attractive to them. But you have to market it right, that's for sure. So I think that's my kind of end-all on this thing, is that if you want to go back to the past, the best way to do it is to bring the past here, at least the best parts of it. Cherry pick the best parts of the past, bring them here, and then the best thing you can possibly do is to connect with some young people and then model it. I don't mean just talk it, because that's just babbling your BS. I'm talking you model that, you manifest that behavior, and they can see you living your life that way, being happy that way, having a chuckle at the expense of people who don't, that have a lot of problems because they don't, because they aren't living, you know, by solid moral values. And, you know, they're going to make the right choice if they've got a brain on their head. I really believe it. And so I guess that's my choice. Yesterday or today, which is better? I think today can be better, particularly if we bring the better parts of yesterday here.
Okay, well, that was my comments. And now I'm going to have another quick comment here, relatively quick. This is from Ginger. And her comments are very typical, I think, of many people who are very worried about where things are going and our kids. So without further ado, here's Ginger. I believe I got this on Snapvine, long gone. May it rest in peace. But here we go.
Hello there. How are you, sweetheart? It's Sister Ginger over here. Well, years ago, a lot better. I'll tell you why. Things were a lot easier to deal with. Everything today is health care, taxes. There's no more jobs anywhere. Jobs are very hard to come by, and when you have one, don't let it go. And now the school systems are changing. They're getting a little more rougher. They're cutting back on a lot of things, like teacher salaries, sports. Some of the classes have to double up because there's not enough room to go around. And I would say back then things were better, because I remember a few years back that there was a lot less, economy was a little better than it was now. Now things are harder to make economy meet, because we're losing on unemployment has been so high. And then when you know, you get cutbacks all the time on all kinds of stuff. So I would say, in the back of the day, a lot was better, you know, because the reason is, things were totally different back then. And today, everything is so tough that there's people breaking their neck just to make ends meet. And healthcare is cutting back now. And, I'm fully covered, but lately I have to get, referral papers to see a doctor, and back then I didn't have to worry about that because I'm fully covered, and now I do. If I don't get that paper, I get charged, and I never heard such a thing, but now they're charging. They want to charge you without that piece of paper, and it's getting really scary out there, because now I'm worried about the people have the young ones now, and what's going to happen to them? Are they going to have enough education? Are we going to have enough jobs to come by? Or what about education? A lot of things are being cut by education, and you know, a lot of people are starving today, and they can't make ends meet. I know a lot of people that I know are out of work, and I tell people, if you have a job that's you're only subbing for the school, just hang on to that. And so what, you work only 2 days a week? It's better than nothing. You know, don't let that go. Because, you know, a lot of people are complaining about how the school system works just to get a job in the school system. They use you as a substitute, but they only give you, like, maybe 2 or 3 days a week, and then you're stuck. You know, it's really getting really sad out there. I don't know. I'm pretty worried about, you know, the young ones today. How are they going to make ends meet? You know, how are they going to do it? You know, the government is not going to do anything with your Social Security anymore. I didn't get a raise this year at all. January 1st, I did not get a raise. I still have the same, but I don't think it's that, you know, and how come they didn't raise it this year? You know, then they're not giving us what we deserve. They're not making the cost of living anymore. They cut that back. So now you're like, okay, now what? What's the next step? Are we going to survive or what? And, you know, it's like, it can be hard on the family if you have more than one children. I tell people, just have your 2 kids and be done. You know, don't have no more than 2 children, because there's not enough to go around. You know, I see families with 4 children, and they're making it very hard to make ends meet. And, you know, you watch reality shows, and they're having 20 kids. I'm like, how are they affording these 20 children? How? When times are harder now than ever. You know, I just can't see it. I'm sure the TV show is paying for everything, but still, what about the ones that really, really need it, and that they go to bed hungry every night? And there's very, very poor people. A lot of homes out there are going for foreclosure now, and I see a lot of homes with boarded up windows and doors, and you know, if you don't make your mortgage, the bank takes over, and it tells you goodbye. You know, I don't understand what's this world coming to. It's really scary. I'm really worried about the young ones that are being born today and tomorrow and the next day. You know, I know babies are born every day. And, you know, it's a shame. There's not enough going around, and that's what makes me very worried. You know, I'm hoping for the best. We need better health care. A lot of health care being cut back. We need better education, and that's being cut back. Job-wise is being nothing that's being cut back. Unemployment is only 2 years, and after 2 years, it's done. You know, you don't get no more than 2 years, and then after that, it's done. Then what do you do when you can't find a job? What do you do? It's really sad out there, you know. Very good blog, but I would say yesterday was a lot better, because yesterday, the jobs were better, the school days were better. Education was really, really important, and healthcare was a lot better. Now healthcare wants all these papers to see another doctor. And that never used to be, and I'm fully covered. I had to run around and get all these papers so I could see another doctor, and I didn't have to do that. you know, but everything's changed today. If you don't get that piece of paper, they charge you between $250 and $300. And I think that's absurd, but that's what they do today. Because healthcare is cut back, you know. But thanks for that listening, very interesting blog. And I find it very, you know, years ago was a lot better than today. Today is too hard. And I'm worried about what's going on for the future. I'm sure everybody else is too. And we all we have to do is just hope for the best. That's all we can do. Hope for the best. I hope that everything else comes along with it. You know, that's very important to us. All right, take care, sweetheart. I love you. God bless, Sister Ginger. Love you, my brother.
Okay, Ginger, so thank you for your input. And I think Ginger's opinion is probably similar to many, many people's out there, just very worried about what tomorrow brings, especially for our kids and things like that, and kind of looking back to yesterday. And I think there's a little of that in all of us. Well, that's going to be about it for this time. And I'd like to thank all of you for listening. We'll have another one of these out real soon. I've got a topic already. I just recorded a starter file for it. So if you go over to plaindudesradio.com, that topic starter will be posted there. And in fact, you can even record your own replies right from a recorder on the website, or send them in using your own MP3 recorder, or your computer, or however you wish to do it. You can get a hold of me at scott@scottpodcast.com. www.scottpodcast.com is the main website. And with that, I'd like to say goodbye, and we'll just say take care. Bye for now.